You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a new report finds that the number of deaths related to drivers running red lights has hit a 10-year high in Wisconsin. We'll learn more about what's happening and how motorists, pedestrians, and bicyclists can stay safe on the roads. Right now, it's time for a weekly check-in on news stories from around the state. First, the Canadian energy firm Enbridge is seeking permission to conduct land surveys as it considers rerouting its Line 5 oil pipeline in northern Wisconsin. Yesterday, an Enbridge representative attended a meeting of the Mellon City Council about half an hour south of Ashland to talk about the company's plans. Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. She was at that meeting. Danny, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Why is Enbridge considering a reroute of this Line 5 pipeline?
Yeah, so Enbridge is moving forward with exploring a reroute of its line because the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa filed a federal lawsuit against them in July, requesting the company shut down the flow of oil there and remove that segment of pipeline from their reservation because of fears that it might rupture and that a segment of that pipe is becoming exposed.
So what is Enbridge looking to do at this point? This would be early stages, right?
Right. Yeah. They're just looking and exploring possible routes for another location for the pipeline. So right now they are conducting surveys along a 40-mile stretch in Ashland and Iron counties to replace an existing 20-mile segment of Line 5. And that's according to a letter that they sent out to property owners.
That takes us to this meeting. Now, what kind of things did area residents have to say to an Enbridge representative?
Well, there was a lot of concern about the company's environmental track record. They pointed to the 2010 Kalamazoo River spill in Michigan, where more than 1 million gallons of oil was released, and that cost the company more than $1.2 billion to clean up. They're afraid of something like that possibly happening in their neck of the woods. They also had concerns about their land being taken through eminent domain. They're concerned about their water resources. They don't like the way that the process is unfolding with these surveys. Some residents felt like they have been harassed by these agents, who some have said they feel are not taking no for an answer. So the concerns were kind of vast.
What has Enbridge brought up in response either at that meeting or previously?
Enbridge has said that they're not trying to intimidate anyone. They don't want to harass anyone. All they're looking for is approvals of the surveys, which would not mean that they would have any rights to those lands. If they decide to move forward with a project in the future, then they would start talking about announcing plans and beginning a permitting process with local, state, and federal officials, and then looking for agreements with landowners. They say that they've learned a lot since the 2010 Kalamazoo River spill and that they've made a lot of changes to improve safety and integrity on their lines.
And getting back to the Bad River Band, who want the pipelines off of their direct land, you've written that they're not necessarily excited even about the proposed alternate routes.
No, because as they see it, any relocation of that pipeline, it would still be in the headwaters of the Bad River watershed. So anything that happens upstream of them could potentially have an impact on the reservation downstream. So they're not satisfied with seeing any reroute.
This is, again, in early stages. Is there any kind of timeline that you're watching for something to happen next, Danny?
No, right now the company has said they don't have a specific timeline. They're conducting the surveys right now. They'd like to do it while there is no snow on the ground so they can get an idea of some of the environmental resources that are located in this area, but no timeline as of yet for any solid plans to move forward with a reroute.
Let's touch on something else you've written about, Danny. Automated breathalyzer kiosks that some counties are starting to use for court-ordered alcohol screenings. What's going on there?
Well, this is supposed to free up people's staff time at the jails or with criminal justice coordinators because they're finding that whenever they need to have people come in with court-mandated alcohol screening, then there needs to be a staff person present for those breathalyzer tests. So these kiosks would allow them to take those tests without the presence of a supervisor, freeing up some to do other tasks. For example, in one of the counties that I talked to, Lafayette County, their jailers are also dispatchers. So they're already doing a couple of jobs and then having to add on, you know, monitoring people doing alcohol screening. It just makes things even more busy, and it can hold up people who are waiting for these tests if they have to wait for someone to be available to take them. So the idea is that this creates more convenience for both staff and for the people taking the tests.
Danny, I hadn't heard of these things until I read your reporting on this. How widely used are these kiosks in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I didn't really know anything about it either until I had seen something about this in an agenda. It's being used across at least 8 counties right now, including Racine, Door, St. Croix, and Sawyer counties. The company that has created these kiosks, Precision Kiosk Technologies, is hoping that they can expand it to 19 counties by the end of the year. And they said that they've conducted more than 84,000 tests already in the 2 years that this has been happening in Wisconsin, and that they have a 99.5% compliance rate.
Danny, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Danielle Kading, WPR reporter in Superior. She joined us to talk about new breathalyzer kiosks different counties are trying out. Also, she told us about a request by Enbridge Energy to survey properties as it considers rerouting a pipeline south of Ashland. Now, residents of Coon Valley in western Wisconsin's Vernon County have seen a lot of flooding in the last few years. Heavy rain last summer in particular caused damage that's still affecting the community. Hope Kerwin is a WPR reporter based in La Crosse. She recently talked with city officials and residents about how they're preparing for floods in the future. Hope, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, can you remind us about the storms that hit the Coon Valley area last year August, and the damage they caused?
Yeah, so these were storms that happened at the very end of August in 2018, and it dropped about up to 10 inches of rain in across this region in only a few hours. So that caused a lot of water rushing to Coon Creek, which is the creek that flooded Coon Valley, and really caused a lot of damage in a park that is right downtown called Veterans Memorial Park, and a number of homes and businesses.
And some of that damage is still there, right? Still not repaired.
Yeah, so there were a handful of homes and at least one business that village officials say have been damaged beyond repair, that people aren't using those structures anymore. Part of the problem is this village also saw flooding this July when we saw another severe storm roll through this area. And so it's just kind of a repeat incident that has really prevented residents from being able to make the necessary repairs.
You write that that flood back in 2008 basically overwhelmed the dams and other flood control infrastructure there. What is the state of that now?
Yeah, so there 6 dams were damaged in the 2018 flood. 3 of those dams were just needed some repairs, and Monroe County, which is where the dams are located, they went ahead and made those repairs. But 3 of the dams were actually breached, fully, damaged beyond repair, basically. And so the county has chosen not to move forward with replacing those structures because they are applying for funding through NRCS, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, which is a federal program, to do a new watershed study for Coon Creek. The official that I talked to at Monroe County, Bob McKeel, he says that they basically can't build a structure that can withstand the floodwaters that they continue to see on Coon Creek. And so they know that they need to find new solutions to deal with the increased flooding that we continue to see in this area.
And it would be expensive to do that, to build dams that could withstand the kind of flooding they're seeing now. And you write, this is something that would be way too much for the local government to afford. Is that right?
Yeah, he said, these are basically millions of dollars of projects. And so they can't afford to keep replacing these structures and have them be, you know, damaged by the next flood. So that's why they're seeking this federal funding to be able to do a watershed study to be smarter with and more efficient with that money.
You spent time talking to people there about the prospect of future flooding. What kind of things did people have to say?
you know, it's always a sad thing to see people's homes, businesses be impacted. And, you know, there's definitely concern about the next time we see a severe storm roll through that there's just going to experience the same thing over again. But there's definitely a resiliency within that village and people confident that they're going to, you know, remain there, that they're going to find a way to deal with this flooding. And there's really just an urgency, a sense of urgency, as it was described to me, to be proactive on this issue. They don't want to keep experiencing this flooding, but they see the writing on the wall that the next time we see a severe storm, it's likely to happen.
This big flood was in August of 2018. Last month, there was a fundraising event to try to raise money for flood preparedness. What was going on?
Yeah, so Coon Valley historically has had a canoe race on Coon Creek, but it's been about 20 years since they held that event. And so the local business association and several other local organizations got together to bring back the canoe race on Coon Creek as a way to raise money for flood mitigation. When I last talked with officials there, they were still working out the numbers to see how much they raised or if they broke even with the event. But they said they had over 100 teams participate, and from not only from this southwestern region, but, you know, as far away as Illinois, Minneapolis, coming to just, you know, participate in this event to help raise money. They're still deciding what they're going to be doing as far as investing in local flood mitigation, exploring different ideas. You know, I talked to the village president. He said he's looked into things like temporary levees to see if they could put up if they know a storm is coming or if they know the water is high. I also heard talks of rain barrels or different ways, you know, community members can focus on water retention, keeping water from flowing all into the creek at the same time.
Hope, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Hope Kerwin is a WPR reporter based in La Crosse. She talked with us about how residents in Coon Valley are handling the likelihood of more damaging floods in the future. She wrapped up our weekly roundup of state news.